Anyways, welcome back, Fiends Who Handle. We're Scare presented by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Our show discusses horror movies and the phobias that they emphasize. We are smack dab in the middle of a new month, and with that, we have our new phobia, which is pharsophobia and the fear of pranks in horror. Now, with that being said, before I introduce tonight's film and my co-host, just a few general reminders. You can stay connected with us over on X at Handle with Scare, and be sure to join us for our Twisted Tuesday and Thursdays watch parties, which are held every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time over at kick.com/humblydrunk. And, you know, like, we've been hard in the paint, you know, watching new releases, and, you know, we had a little bit of a commotion this week, Grind, something that you had brought to my attention, because, for one, this was from a movie that I had not gotten to as of yet, but, apparently, we're kind of, like, dealing with something that we've already dealt with prior, when there was another Handle with Scare podcast, essentially. The last time, who's basically, like, emailing me, like, hey, like, you can't use that name, even though, like, we were, around well before them, but yeah, turns out, we have a new, I shouldn't say a new challenger, but, someone is trying to take the throne again from us, and, we're not gonna stand for that shit.
Oh, hell no, we're not. Yeah, in the movie Camp Pleasant Lake, the whole thing is basically billed as an adult horror camp, right? So you go there and you get the whole horror experience. Well, there is a journalist that shows up there to take notes, and, you know, he's their the equivalent of the bloody disgusting of the time, but he is from handlewithscare.com. And as we watched this yesterday in our pregame, everybody was like, holy shit. Does T know? Is he suing somebody? Is he? And I'm like, well, I think no and no. But then it was like, well, we should go and check. And it turns out it's available. So I think good old Grindhouse is probably just going to buy handlewithscare.com just so we can get away from having these problems in the future.
Well, I will say at one point, at least early on, I did own the domain. I basically just let it not auto-renew after, like, the first year or two, just because, like, obviously we weren't getting a ton of traffic, because we still are on, like, the smaller scale in regards to, you know, podcasts out there, so I didn't really, like, feel the need to, like, constantly update it, even though it was basically just pulling directly from the RSS feed. But either way, I do find the irony in it that, you know, go figure, like, we're deep diving into 2024 releases, and that just kind of, like, got sprung up on us. Just kind of, like, out of the blue, and just like, oh, damn.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a great deal of fun with it, and I think I might just buy it, but I'm going to put it under the Grindhouse Zombie Incorporated umbrella, just so you know. So you're going to have a master. Sorry. it happens to the best of us. everyone else, or someone else, has that $12.95 a month that it takes to own somebody else. Anyway, no, it was hilarious when it came up. We had a lot of fun with it. And honestly, Camp Pleasant Lake, for being a low budget, sort of pseudo slasher, as we're starting to call some of the 2024 releases this year, it was not terrible. it was a fun watch. If you can go out there and see it, support an indie filmmaker, by all means do. It was missing one of the bees, as we talk about, but it had the other two bees. Well, it had one bee in spades, and then it had, like, half of one bee slash maybe a double bee, if you know what I mean. So, fun watch, everyone. Go out, check it out. Support indie film, because that's how we keep getting more. Just so keep doing that. And then, yeah, handlewithscare.com, coming to an internet near you soon.
Yeah, when Grind is saying Tubi, he's not talking about Tubi the platform, even though that has been, like, the bulk of my recent watches here since our last recording, which, you know, we sat down to talk about April Fool's Day on Sunday evening. It is now Wednesday, and since then, I have watched, let's see, Hellhounds, which came from your recommendation from that recording. Horny Teenagers Must Die, Model House, They Turned Us Into Killers, Low Lives, Arctic Hollow, You Shouldn't Have Let Me In, The Nexus, Cholo Zombies, Dagger, Hunting for the Hag, and I did watch Bite before we started our recording. Man, it's been a stretch. You know, I had a couple of days off. So I'm like, okay, let me knock out as much as I can, just because, like, I know, like, over, you know, the next, like, 4 or 5 days, it's going to be, you know, a slow drip in comparison. And yeah, you know, there's been the standouts or, like, the recommendations still at this point have been few and far between. You know, there are a couple that you and I have just read on a little bit, but, you know, I think there's enough here where I do know which ones I firmly believe are, like, worth a second watch to, like, maybe, you know, rescale or, you know, like go over, like, the rating system again. Because, like, I know for me, I'm kind of, like, in this position where it's, like, I have so many movies right now that I have in, like, the same exact rank. Where it's, mm-hmm. like, it's kind of just become, like, the median or, like, the main threshold to whether or not, like, something is going to be a recommendation. So if it's above that bar, it's like, okay, like, this is above what the norm has become in 2024. And it's just like, you know, for the most part, my new baseline might just have to be like, well, did I stay awake during the movie? Was I engaged enough? Because Arctic Hollow, you know, talk about it on, you know, Twisted Tuesday last night. That shit put me to sleep on multiple occasions because it was that boring. And that has been, and I know, like, we've had a couple of duds that I rated even lower than Arctic Hollow. But at least in those cases, like, yeah, I was streaming, so I didn't fall asleep during said Easter movies. But Arctic Hollow, yeah, it's just like, it didn't help that the movie was pitch black 90% of the time either. So I'm just saying, like, it was just, if you're looking for, like an equal medicine to, like, NyQuil, just throw on Arctic Hollow on Tubi, and you'll be out like a light.
Oh yeah, Arctic Hollow is the white noise of horror movies. It will do nothing but put you to sleep. It was ridiculous. When it comes to the rest of like I think about Tubi now, and I think about where Tubi started when I got into it 3 or 4 years ago, to where it is now, and especially with, you know, Amazon adding ads to an already paid service. And for the record, there are some good folks in the world suing Amazon, which is awesome. They'll probably lose, but it's at least someone's put up a fight. Tubi is kind of where it's at. And for horror, I mean, it's kind of the, you know, 5 is the new 8, which helps with both the ratings of the movies and the quality of some of the ladies in the horror movies. So it kind of goes both ways. But I'm kind of okay with it. And you turned me on to Cholo Zombies, and I started that in the 7 minutes that I had between getting home and then podcast duties that I had today. And I was, admittedly at first, I'm like, oh, this is going to be some cultural divide. Just it's going to throw something in my face. And it is definitely doing that, but it's doing it with a sense of humor, right, which is fantastic. So I am so enjoying that. That might be tomorrow's pregame. Cholo Zombies might be tomorrow's pregame. So we'll see. But it's got all kinds of potential. So 2024 horror, I mean, we're off to a really mediocre start, which is fun because a lot of times we don't even get a mediocre start. So that's good. But coming this Friday, we've got something that I think everyone's looking forward to. I know both you and I held this movie in pretty high regard, and we're going to have Late Night with the Devil on the 19th. I saw it in the theater. I know you saw it in the theater as well. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again because I really think it bears repeating. David Desmalchain and finally getting his starring role really, really nailed this movie. And it's a different kind of horror. It's a different kind of horror. I don't know that its genre has a title yet, But what I'm hoping is that he gets to become the guy that gets to name that new genre, because it was so good and so fun to watch. With any luck, we'll all be watching that on Friday. I know I will be, and I might be streaming it. But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. The year's off to a mediocre start, but like I said, for horror, that's actually pretty good. So I'm kind of excited. And you and I now have sort of gotten into this tit for tat race about who's going to watch the most. I want to see which one of us is dead by the end of the year, because one of us will be if we keep going like this.
Well, on that note, like I will say, like at one point, last year, at least with the first couple of months, like I had just consumed so much and I got burnt out really quick. I'm not at that point, but I would say within the next 2, maybe 3 weeks, I will surpass the total amount of genre watches for new releases compared to last year.
My year was not the prior year. I did 168 for the year, like the new horrors for the year. And that put me in a place where I was questioning both my love of horror and my own sanity. So I don't think I'm going to do that again. And I think the big thing that I'm doing this year is if I watch a movie and it's fucking awful, I'm okay turning it off. That's the big thing. I think that's the big change. And we talked about like some of the Easter movies. I had to start rating those in fractions. And I think you did the same yep. thing too. And it's like, when it's less than one and you have to like Google how to like, okay, I think this movie was about, 0.7. What is that as a fraction? You know, and it's so, which I think is fair, but at the same time, it's like, I'll be honest, I'm having more fun with it this year because I am able to disconnect myself from things that are terrible and not have to be in a place where I say, well, I saw the whole thing, because if it's that fucking bad, who cares? Just turn it off and move on to the next thing. And for those Easter movies, and then I think about something like what I started today called Cholo Zombies. Okay. Theoretically, those should be about on par just based on what they are. Cholo Zombies is already a 6 for me. It's already a 6, and I'm like 27 minutes in, and it's already a 6. So it's got nowhere to go but up, unless it colossally shits the bed and goes down. At the same time, none of these movies, I guarantee you, none of them are going to hold a candle to 1984's Toxic Avenger.
Absolutely not. And I feel like the timing of this recording is just really weird, because I know they just showed the Toxic Avenger on The Last Drive-In here very yes. recently this season. I did not watch an episode, but I just know, like, all right, well, like, yeah, I can do my homework, and, like, obviously, like, I have my notes, but, like, obviously, like, you know, it's not going to hold a candle to, like, the Joe Bob commentary or having, you know, Lloyd Kaufman on as a guest, which I know he was in this case. But, you know, Toxic Avenger, definitely, that is the first trauma movie that everyone is going to think of whenever trauma is brought up. So here we have Traumaville having a monstrous new hero. The Toxic Avenger is born when meek mop boy Melvin falls into a vat of toxic waste. Now evildoers will have a lot to lose. All right, so what we have here is essentially, I mean, let's call it what it is. This is it is more in common with like superhero movies than really any mm-hmm. other genre out there. So just who is this Toxic Avenger? Well, really depends on who you ask, I would say. Because you might get a different sort of response from people. You know, at one point, you know, we have like this really sweet and innocent star of Troma's most famous movie. Others might see him as kind of like that symbol of like B movie schlock. And that's, let's call a spade, that is what Troma is at its very core. Calling it, you know, a B-movie studio, in some cases, might be even a little bit of a stretch, depending on who you ask, because the quality, it is all over the place, and there's a reason why I don't deep dive into Troma all that much. I have, like, you know, a handful that I will watch a few times here and there, but it's not a studio that I'm constantly going back to check out, like, the newer releases. And I think for me, I think mostly it's because I'm more of, like, a Full Moon Features fan. I've been more into, like, those style B-movies as opposed to Trauma, and, you know, I still haven't, like, quite been able to, like, go back and, like, okay, like, I'm gonna set, you know, several hours aside to, like, check out more of the catalog. I'm just not at that point yet. Maybe when I burn out of, you know, 2024 releases, I might reconsider. But either way, here we have the Toxic Avenger, who is just this figure of resilience, and just dirty in the cinema. And all these scenes are technically true about this character, and it's one of the reasons why Toxie has really stood the test of time in a way that a lot of these other B-movie characters have not been able to do.
Ultimately, he is a superhero. I mean, non-conventional, for sure. But I also love the fact that he's billed as the first superhero from New Jersey. And it's like almost like the first thing, good thing to come out of Jersey in forever. At the same time, with this movie, and especially when you first see the character of Melvin and just how, just what a dork he is, and how just he can't get through anything without making a mess of it. But at the same time, you have this group of people, you know, our wonderful friends. What is it? Bozo, Slug, Wanda, and then, Julie. These are the people that, I mean, let's face it here. We're horror nerds. Okay. So these are the people that we all love to hate. And it's just, this is what is going to drag you into a movie, get its claws in you, and keep you watching the whole entire time. But, you know, watching a nerd be put upon by a bunch of, like, super turbo jocks who also, in the meantime, are playing their own version of Grand Theft Auto at night. I mean, it's not hard to hate these people, and it's not hard to root for Toxie, especially when he comes out. And I think one of the craziest parts about Toxie and the Toxic Avenger is that he goes through not only a physical metamorphosis, but he goes through a strange intellectual metamorphosis too, where he comes out basically speaking like fucking Shakespeare, which, you know, when you first meet Melvin, he is just a drooling slob who can't put two sentences together. You know, a girl walks into the room and he just trips over himself and drops his mop and does whatever else. And he becomes sort of a poet in the end. And if you can't root for the Toxic Avenger, like if you see this movie and you think the Toxic Avenger is a bad guy, I'm going to tell you now, you are one of the people that I hate. So fuck off. Just be done with it.
Yeah, Trauma's always kind of been in this, like, really precarious situation because, like, for the longest time, their wheelhouse, at least before Toxic Avenger, was just, you know, we are just going to release a lot of, like, these sex romp comedies. Like, that was their go-to. And then when the Toxic Avenger came out, then all of a sudden, like, this became their biggest hit ever. And then this is eventually what kept the studio going for decades to come after the fact. And, you know, so what we had here was, like, a complete deviation from at least a Trauma norm at the time. You know, it was still sticking to, you know, the low budget approach, obviously doing a ton of practical effects on that end. And, you know, Lloyd Kaufman was really coming into this new film as kind of like the reinvention of the horror film. And it's interesting because, like, when you look at this movie, obviously the end result of what we got isn't necessarily horror. It is far campier than it is scary. And, you know, it's still a very enjoyable watch, regardless of how many times you've seen it. I know, like, Kaz was saying, like, this is probably the only movie that we've shown on Twisted Tuesday that he has seen multiple times. And, you know, there's a reason for that. One, it's because, you know, obviously most of the stuff that he has seen has been through the watch parties. But it's also just the fact that this is one of the more, like, approachable genre pieces out there, because you had those comedic elements, you have the really over-the-top villains in here, much like you would in a comic books. I mean, fuck, you have a guy named Cigar Face, and, you know, of course he has, like, the line of, hey, you want to know why they call me Cigar Face? It's fucking obvious, because he puts a cigar on your face. I mean, it's so layman in terms of, like, what it's doing, but it's just done in such a fun way that you really don't care about, like, what the budget is looking like, or, like, the gross-out factor, because there is quite a bit, but so much of it is just so absolutely ridiculous. And I love the whole, like, hit-and-run approach, because, like, we always kind of, like, joke about, like, oh, well, how many points is this person? And then, of course, you know, they don't shy away from actually running people over in this case, regardless of how old they are.
Well, that's just it. I mean, this movie, it takes everything that you know happens in the world and everything that you know is bad, and it puts it front and center. And it's not shy about it. I mean, and, you know, even the kid on the bike, and that when they run him over and his head just opens up on the ground, it's like, but it still takes you to a place. And I think even with the, so this to me is one of those movies, and a friend of mine a long time ago, I was maybe, God, I might've been 12. So I had a friend of mine, he was Korean, and he was the coolest dude. His name was Young Ho. Don't make fun of that. That was his actual name. But we called this movie a horno. That's what we called it. It was horror mixed with porn. So it was a horno. But it was a great horno because it had a great story. It had a great character. And it gave us young nerds like a vision of the future. That's like, it could get better. Now, has it gotten better? Obviously it has. Okay. But something like this, having this kind of character, because when you're young and you're kind of a dork and you're a little bit of an outcast, I mean, you see the poster for the Toxic Avenger and that's how you feel. You feel that all the time. Like, nobody gets me. Nobody understands me. I'm ugly. The world thinks I'm a freak, whatever else. But this movie, so brilliantly with the blind woman, gives you an opportunity to not have to be judged by just how you look. It gives you an opportunity to be judged by your character. I mean, and I think that's what everybody ultimately wants in this world. And, you know, I think I've said before, as we have the internet and we have Instagram and Twitter and all these things, and as we are more and more connected, I think that we as a people have never been farther apart. And this is one of those movies where it gives you an opportunity to really be judged for who you are and for what you do and for your actions based on maybe how you look. Because, I mean, the Toxic Avenger, if he strolled down Hollywood Boulevard, I don't think he could get a hooker to save his life. They'd all run for the fucking hills, right? But at the same time, because he has this, like, this quaint spirit to him, where he's just like, he's still so soft on the inside. It just makes him fun to watch, and it makes him fun to see what's going to happen. But he still is a superhero. He still is on the side of right. And it's so fun to watch him exercise his newfound strength and charisma and just attitude. And it's a movie that you watch it, it's never boring. You never put down your Toxic Avenger pendant through the whole movie. You're always waving it through the whole thing. And it's just so damn fun.
Yeah, it's great because, like, here, obviously, like, this is, like, pre-Watchmen in this case. But, like, this is a movie that doesn't shy away from really, like, relishing in just the innate, like, ridiculousness of, like, the overall setup that it has. And, you know, it also kind of, like, carries itself in a different way in regards to, like, the, you know, current, like, contemporary, like, comic book movies of today. So here, like, we have our superhero, Toxie, who is really, like, always fighting for the little guy. You know, we don't have any of these, like, militarized, like, heroics here. You know, he's more concerned with taking down the corrupt cops and the criminals who were hurt in his community of Tromaville. And, you know, when this movie came out, in 86. Like, this was one that definitely, like, slipped underneath the radar. But this was another one of those movies that, you know, due to, like, the midnight movie screenings, you know, really helped, you know, put it on, like that road to, like, cult movie status. And, you know, word of mouth began to spread. And then this is when, like, Troma really started to pick up a lot of momentum at this point for their low-budget movie-making skills. And then, of course, you know, we got a sequel, among other things. You know, there was also, like, a cartoon series for, you know, the Toxic Crusaders, which is still on my list. I gotta get to it at some point, but I know it was kind of like a short-lived series in its own right. But, you know,
Oh, have you never seen any of those? No. You've never seen any of those?
No, I haven't.
Oh, have you got a treat coming for you, my friend? Oh, nope. They're so good, they're bad, that they're good, that they're bad. Mm-hmm. It, like, there's so many back and forths on there, but they're just, I'll just leave it there. Just enjoy it for what it is.
Good to know. But, like, this was definitely, I remember, you know, hearing about Toxic Crusaders a lot, and a lot of that, you know, these were, like, one of the cartoons that was made for, like, advertisement for Toys Craze, which was, like, all the rage back in the day, and a lot of that was, like, sparking from, like, Transformers, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at the time. So it's really interesting to see, like, just how marketable Toxic Avenger has been over the course of all of these decades up to this point. So much, in fact, that, you know, I mentioned this on our last recording, you know, we do have a remake coming out. We still don't know, like, what exactly it is coming out. It did debut in the festival scene this past year. Still no street date. But, you know, I showed you the trailer after our recording. You're just like, I refuse to believe this is real.
Well, and I did, because there are some times where you walk into a certain moment and you just know this is a scam. And that's what that felt like. There's no way. There's absolutely no way that, well, A, they got Tyrion Lannister to be the Toxic Avenger. There's just no way. I'll believe it when I see, you know, something on a movie promenade that says the Toxic Avenger. I'll believe it then. Right now, I think the internet is full of shit. I can't. There's just no way. I mean, I love the idea, and I somehow taking the Toxic Avenger and taking him from being 6'6" to being like 3'6" is interesting. Until I'm watching it, I'm never gonna believe it. I can't. I'm a faithful person. I like to stretch my imagination because I am a horror nerd, but, like, my brain goes, no, just no, no. T is full of shit. This is not a real thing. He's got a new software program where he's like, I'm going to make this thing and see if Grindhouse falls for it. I think that's where we're at. I appreciate your effort, but I think you're full of shit.
Yeah, so, you know, I have so much free time in between watching the 51 2024 releases. Oh, Jesus.
51, though?
50. Yeah, that's what I'm at. 51. Yeah.
Oh, you are trying to pick. Bitch. Okay. All right. Game on, Brohim.
Like, I'm only going to watch more movies this week. I mean, outside of Abigail, which is the big release, at least in theaters this week. Oh, and by the way, for those that haven't seen, Immaculate is also available to own and rent on digital as well. So, you know, you can watch both of the really good religious horror flicks that came out this year so far. And honestly, I probably would have scored the first Omen higher had it not been for the other two movies. But we'll have to wait and see, because I do want to rewatch that one, you know, later down the road.
Well, that's the hard part with those movies, that there were so many of the same theme coming out at the same time. Mm-hmm. The one that was a tad more original and it was not hamstrung by existing IP probably had the better chance. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Okay, keep talking. I got to do a little work in the background here.
Yeah, we just got to update his list. But anyways, so as we mentioned, this all takes place in Tromaville. Which, of course, this is a major part of the Troma Brandon, which is, you know, just this small little New Jersey town that receives all of the toxic waste that is being produced by New York City. Of course, it has to be, you know, across the state line from that point. So here we have the story of Melvin Niford, who is a janitor at the local health club. You know, we have like this really scrawny, socially awkward, pretty inept at his job, little bit stupid kind of guy. And, you know, he's easily drawn into the ire of the club's jocks, as you had mentioned, especially the psychotic Bozo and Slug. But, you know, there's a lot more to these characters than, you know, just like the typical jerk approach to the jock. You know, they and their girlfriends are also hit and run serial killers, running over pedestrians, bicyclists all over Tromaville. You know, that's definitely how they get the rocks off in this case, trying to accumulate as many points as they can, as if they're looking to set the high score. So at one point, and this is how we set up Toxie, the gang decides to prank Melvin. And when he flees upon his, you know, humiliation, he winds up crashing through a window and falling into a vat of toxic waste, which is being delivered by a couple of coke-snorting truck drivers who, you know, just conveniently happen to, you know, be doing a couple of party favors just right in front of the health club. And, you know, the waste starts to react to Melvin's skin and, you know, basically, we have these onlookers taking a look at this who are completely horrified by the fact that Melvin has been consumed by the waste effects. And I love the fact that, like, after this, you know, we have, like, Melvin at home trying to, like, wash the waste off. And we hear, like, all this, like, grunting going on. And his mom's, like, on the other side of the door, like, asking, hey, Melvin, are you all right? Is it, like, everything okay? And, of course, you just, like, hear these, like, really horrific things coming from the bathroom. And, of course, you know, this is where part of, like, the gross out effects really start to come into play with the practical effects.
Well, she also says a couple of things like, you know, are you becoming a man? And like things like that in there where it's like, but I think that's a piece of what makes the movie, from the horror nerd perspective, like super approachable. It's like, well, yeah, I am becoming a man. Fuck off and leave me alone, right? So visuals and effects, when he comes out of that barrel off the side of that truck and then he lights on, like ignites and he's on fire, that is, for me, some of the most horrifying visuals I've ever seen. Like, it's, I mean, and granted, it's a guy in a pink tutu on fire. I get that. But just like knowing, being the horror dork that I am and deep diving people being on fire and what it takes to be on fire in a movie and then like actually survive, that is super horrifying to me. And to this day, it makes me super uncomfortable when I see it. I just kind of just go, oof, like that would hurt so bad. But I think it's part of their, part of that low budget thing that the trauma movies did really, really well is that they were able to light people on fire and nobody died. Nobody got sued. I mean, granted, it's not like the Rust production, but at the same time, it's like nobody died. So like, hey, good on you guys, you know, cause I saw a really recent trauma film and I was so, I'm just going to say utterly disappointed by the quality of it, that the Toxic Avenger compared to the recent trauma movies, the Toxic Avenger should have won an Oscar compared to what they're making now. So I don't know why they have slumped so far and why they don't just stick with their roots and make good practical effects horror movies, but they're not. And they've shifted and taken a certain tone, let's just say, and it's not enjoyable at all.
So after this ordeal and we have Melvin having his transformation, you know, he becomes deformed, but, you know, he also happens to be taller. He's stronger. He seems more intellectually sharp on top of that as well, which you had mentioned. You know, although he's like never actually called like the Toxic Avenger, that's what like the newspapers are calling him at this point, but he is known as Toxie. So outside of this, he also has, like, gained, like, the sense of evil and, you know, just a absolute compulsion to thwart it in Tromaville, usually with extreme and graphic violence, because how else are you going to dispose of all these evildoers here in this, you know, small New Jersey town? So this pits Tromaville's corrupt mayor and also their Nazi police chief against him, but endears him to the public. So the film actually does touch upon, like, what happens when, you know, the hero kills someone who isn't publicly known to be evil, which in the case of this movie is just, like, this little old lady who was the head of a slavery ring. Which, you know, like, very, very bold move to just kind of, like, throw that in there. And you do kind of have, like, a little bit of, like, Three Stooges comedy with, like, the whole, like, killer bit in there as well, which I thought was pretty entertaining. But it's a rather, like, odd twist to kind of, like, just throw in there because, like, it's... They make it try to come off as, like, just silly and, like, proud of it. And, you know, it just means, like, they actually, like, thought of an issue that often gets overlooked in, like, more serious, like, action movies.
Well, and it's a hard subject matter to rip out, especially when you are doing what is, you know, a group of guys making a knockoff horror movie, right? But I also think that there's a lot of knockoff horror movies out there. And when I say the word knockoff, I'm not begrudging anybody. I'm talking low budget. I'm talking indie movies where they do often approach subjects that the rest of society is not going to tackle and talk about. And this might be a bold statement, but I mean it when I say it. That's why I think a lot of us horror nerds are probably well more adjusted than the rest of society, because we actually get exposure to these topics and we actually talk about them, where the rest of the world just wants to fight and put up Instagram polls and do all this other bullshit while not actually talking about things. And I mean, horror people, if we do anything, we deal with what's in front of us and we deal with the problems and we talk about it and we find a way to embrace the problem, get past it, come together as people, and ultimately have fun with it. And that's what the Toxic Avenger does. It has fun with the subject. I mean, because when you have an irradiated superhero that is going to go through town and has decided that he's going to bust up a slavery / human trafficking ring, I mean, like, I don't think you could find a way to find a more current example of what's happening in the world, but also a way to at least get it into the atmosphere of discussion. And we've said it 100 times. If there's anything that horror does well, is it drags uncomfortable topics out of the mud and puts them right in front of your face. And you have a choice. You can either turn away or you can go, well, I'm going to swallow hard and choke this down. And I'm going to make it part of what's on my mind. And another one of those movies that it does just that. I mean, and you know, we have the ages of, I mean, and I don't think people these days know about toxic waste, okay, and what it was in the 80s and how you had trains of toxic waste crisscrossing the country and people had no idea what was on them and going to these places and they go into these concrete and lead-lined bunkers and they're hopefully buried and hopefully there's never going to be a problem, but ultimately, there's always a problem, but we just don't talk about it because we're too busy talking about how much exhaust my V8 charger puts out, you know, and how I'm a bad person because I drive a gas-guzzling car. And it's like, I'm sorry, idiot. There are actually bigger things happening. And if you were to grab a hold of your shoulders and pull really hard and hear that resounding pop, that would be your head coming out of your ass. And then you could see the real world and actually address something that's a real problem. But no, we have to let horror movies do it for us.
Yeah, real problems, like making sure that we dispose of literally every copy of E.T. the video game.
Exactly. Yeah, real problems. Real problems. Things that need to be addressed right now. Otherwise, society will just dissolve into chaos.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, with this, I mean, You got to call this movie what it is. This is a B movie. It's pure schlock. And this is one of those things where, like, going in, you're not supposed to be expecting perfection. Now, you know, you might be wondering, like, okay, well, like, what's a little off-putting about, you know, like, some of the things that happened. So after the transformation, like, it's important to note that, obviously, the voice change comes into effect. So you have Kessler, who voices Toxie. And very seldomly does it seem to be in sync with, like, the body movements of Toxie. So, you know, you kind of, like, have, like, that whole, like, dub-in situation that's always, like, a totally. fairly common topic, especially with foreign films nowadays still. You know, most of the actors are not the best. The fight scenes are often filled with very obvious, like, fake hits that miss by a mile, but, you know, of course, they are reacted to as if, you know, they have been hit with, like, complete full force. But, you know, what this film lacks in quality in that regard makes up for in just the enthusiasm and audacity to everything that they're doing. You know, this is one of those movies that is well aware that it is a B-movie at best. And it is completely unashamed by that fact. You know, everything is over the top. You know, the villains in here are comically evil. You know, they're dumping toxic waste for the fun of it. Or, you know, they're being willing to run over kids on bikes, which is actually shown in this, unlike a lot of other genre titles at the time. Because, you know, more times than not, like, those movies would tease it, but they would never actually show the real thing. And this one kind of, like, takes it a step further in a sense that it's like, oh, well, we hit him, but, you know, we didn't finish the job. So, you know, we got to backtrack, you know, put the car in reverse, run this kid over again. And that's when, you know, you have, you know, the splat effect on the pavement. Which, you know, is, glorious if you're looking for, like, you know, the really gross out factor in this. But all in all, this is a movie that, you know, regardless of the current remake status, you know, it's very rare that one movie can, like, really define the studio and bring, like, so much support into a studio that, like, the money pouring in through, like, all these other deals as, like, made Troma, like, still, I'm not gonna say it's, like, a sizable thing, but, you know, looking back, like, Troma was always just kind of, like, seen as, like, a D studio. But nowadays, you know, you look at where they're at, they're constantly at the conventions, having some sort of presence there. Maybe not at, like, all of them here, but I know they have had tables quite a few years at one or the other here in Chicago. But, you know, they also have their own streaming service nowadays with Troma Now, which is great to see. Even if, you know, maybe some of their newer offerings. And honestly, I don't think Easter Evil was an actual Troma production. I could be wrong. It just might have been on their service. But either way, it's like, it's crazy to see, like, where they started to, like, where they're at now, because very rarely do we see, like, these small indie studios, like, come out and be able to, like, have that much of a footprint on the genre.
It's pretty easy for me to say that the last Troma film I saw was horseshit. It's easy for me to say that. But I will guarantee you that somebody saw The Toxic Avenger for the first time and called it horseshit. So I'm not going to try to speak for every generation of people, every generation of horror nerd. Everybody has to find what they find good and special. At the same time, I don't ever think that what The Toxic Avenger did for both Troma as a production company and as the horror superhero slash supervillain is ever going to be replicated. I don't see it ever happening. With the start of this movie going all the way through, I mean, these are people that were in this movie and probably got paid $12 a day, right? And the girls that took their tops off got paid $16 a day. So they were at a premium, right? But as much as I mean, the whole movie is a blood and murder and titty fest. That's what it is. But I think people have to realize that these movies had, they had their place in that era. And especially with like the slashers of the time, that was what was happening. And I'm not going to say that it's, you know, a little bit not maybe an antiquated way to tell a story. I mean, you know, how much can you advance the story with a pair of boobs? Well, I mean, honestly, not much. You can't. Okay. But at the same time, or the people that are finding these films now, or the people that are my age that are watching these movies for the 50th time, guess what? The boobs are still awesome. So, and boobs are always going to be awesome. So just deal with it. Okay. It just is what it is. This movie ultimately for me is a nerd getting some payback. And I'm always going to love it for that because, you know, growing up and being, I think I was 12 or 13 when this movie came out, something like that. And I was a horror geek. My walls were plastered with horror posters. I mean, there was one Samantha Fox in there too. So I was still, at least I was alive, right? So I knew what I was doing. But I loved horror, and I had the ability from an early age to rent and to pretty much watch any horror movie I wanted to. So I was what I would call a connoisseur from a very early age. But it's not something that everybody necessarily understands. And people don't get that horror movies are my comfort food, right? They just are. They're my warm cup of tea. That's what they are for me. And while I don't expect everyone to necessarily get it, I expect everyone to cut me a little bit of fucking slack and be who I am. And horror is one of those places where I think people still have a hard time doing that. Like, just like, why would you want to watch that? And it's like, people don't understand what it is for me to want to be scared, and, you know, and like for what it does for me and how it makes me feel alive. And I don't need everyone to understand it, but I need people to just accept me for who I am. And that's what I like. And yeah, a 10-year-old kid on his bike getting run down and his brains fall out. It's horrific. I get that. I don't agree with it. It's not something I'm going to go out and do in the world, but when it happens on screen and I get to watch it, I'm like, fuck yeah. You know? So that's every kid who's ever ridden in front of me while I'm going down the street and I'm like, and I got to stop. And I'm like, oh, goddamn kids. Every once in a while, you just want to keep fucking going and running them down. And this movie and trauma in general, it does that. It gives you that extension of yourself where you get to do the thing you want to do, even though you know you can't do it because it's not going to end up good for you.
And of course, with the whole hit and run aspect of our killers, at one point, you know, after Bozo does, you know, get a couple of kills along the way, Toxie does tear the wheel off of the car, which causes Bozo to drive off the side of a cliff. And of course, you know, we have, you know, the crash and, you know, burst into flame moments when, you know, he gets burned alive. But, you know, of course, Toxie completely unharmed by all of this because, you know, maybe he's a little bit immune to the fire at this point because he's already transformed at this point. But I have to say, like, the cleaner scene in particular still makes me crack up, though. It's like, how many times do we get to see someone get thrown into the laundry and just run through, you know? And of course, you just hear the thump of the body as it's rotating. Absolutely great. Before, like, they do the reveal of, like, who this old lady actually is. But, you know, it kind of puts the mayor in a position where it's like, okay, like, we're going to betray, like, this monster as the real villain, even though, you know, the mayor in this case is actually the bad guy and in all of this. And, you know, towards the end of this, we have Sarah and Melvin basically looking to move away from the city. You know, they're looking to take a tent and live in the nearby woods. And this is when we have our mayor finding out about, you know, Toxie basically murdering this innocent old lady and using this as an opportunity to basically call in the National Guard in hopes of, you know, finally disposing of him. But of course, that comes back to backfire because the townsfolk all see Toxie as, you know, a hero in this case. So, you know, you have that standoff type of moment between the town and, of course, all of the army here. muted.
So as this ends, it's like, this movie has so many little times, and there's a scene in the gym where he uses, like, he pulls up on the bar and lets the weights come down and take the guy's heads off. I mean, so it's, this movie is full of little times and little points where it's like, they're using the things that I already identify as things that I don't like because of the people attached to them to kind of spell their demise. And with the mayor of the city, I mean, he's the literal fat cat of the whole thing, right? And when he's effectively eviscerated to see if he has any guts, it's like, I mean, it's kind of the icing on the cake at that point, where it's like, he's kind of the last guy that you wanted, you know, like, it feels like we've come full circle, you know, Toxie has made his point, you know, he's kind of, you know, he's cleaned up the city, as it were, but then they kind of show him, like, continuing to go on and, like, fight the bad guys in Traumaville. I mean, and it's a pretty stereotypical end to a good superhero movie, right? With the exception of the fact that he eviscerates people, literally, like, pulls their shit out through their asshole, you know? But, I mean, but I think that's what makes it different, is that, you know, if you're going to be a good superhero, there's going to be some blood and guts involved. In this movie, they show you the blood and guts, you know? And, but as the horror guy, that's what makes it fun. And it's what makes you root for him the whole time. And till the day I die, I will still love his voice in this movie, because he sounds like a poet when he talks. That's what he sounds like. And there's a piece of me that has to think that the way his voice changes and the way he sounds has got to be the inspiration for a lot of other superheroes. And I'm thinking, honestly, of, like, Batman in general. Like, that's where it's got to come from, you know? And just that change to that, like, deep, husky, harmonic voice where it's like, you know, I'm just doing my thing. I'm just here to help, ma'am. You know, I love that about it. And watching this movie again, and I had to watch it in a couple of years, and watching it again, it was just like, I'll be honest, I forgot how damn glorious this movie was and how I just loved every minute of it. And, you know, when they set Melvin up, so where he's kissing the sheep, and like everything, you know, the falling out the window, the coming out of the barrel in flames, you know, making his little ramshackle hut where he brings Sarah back to. I mean, everything about it is, I can still win. And it just makes it awesome. I mean, and just for the horror geek in me, it's a movie that I realize how bloody it is, and I realize that there's a lot of subject matter that's, like, probably things as a society we should talk about. But it also still continues to give me hope. Mm-hmm. You know, like, people can be better and people can learn.
Yeah, and because of, like, that sort of, like, scare factor of Toxie picking these criminals off one by one, you know, we even have a point where, like, the criminals are starting to turn themselves in just out of fear for their own safety, like, wanting to get locked up so they don't become one of, you know, Toxie's next victims. And, you know, I love the moment when they're trying to fight Toxie in, like, the alleyway. You know, we have Cigarface, who was coming back after, like, he initially got his ass kicked. You know, he's covered in bandages and casts, and he is bringing along, like, this new group of goons, basically, to surround Toxie with guns. And, of course, you know, as they're about to, like, shoot and squad him, you know, he jumps to the fire escape, and, like, all these bad guys start shooting and just end up hitting one another in just an absolutely fantastic scene. It's just like, well, that didn't work out too well for them, but, you know, it turns out that Toxie's also pretty agile for a man of his eyes at this point as well.
It reminds you of this movie understands how funny it's supposed to be, and all while it has some pretty intense subject matter, because it really does, it it wants you, I think in the end, this movie wants you to laugh. It wants you to walk away with some things to think about, maybe think about how you go through your life every day and maybe make some better decisions, but it wants you to laugh. And I think that's with horror comedies like this, that's where it has to start, right? You can give me all the horror and all the brains and the blood and whatever else, but you've got to give me a place. And I think you probably know this as well as I do as a horror guy. If you get too deep into the real horror, there's a place where it can put you in a pretty dark place, mm-hmm. right? And it can be really hard to dig out of. As much as we like horror, it can also be a place where it gets you dark. And The Toxic Avenger keeps you from getting to that place. And if nothing else, it gives you like a good moral of the story. Even if people have shit on you, you've been treated poorly, people have made fun of you and pulled pranks on you, you can still come out the other side and you can still be basically a force for good. Now, are you going to be a superhuman giant superhero with an offset eye and apparently a very potent and toxic Avenger sword, I guess, maybe that's the thing. You can do all of that all while wearing a half-burnt pink tutu. Like, you can do whatever it is that you want. You just need to be in this world a force for good and maybe, like, try to weed out some of the negative. And it's what he does. I mean, I always like to think of this movie as that it feels like it's a little bit about revenge. I mean, and there's a piece of it that is, but I think most of it is about going forward and trying to do good and trying to uphold justice. It's kind of Batman before there was a good Batman movie. You know, he just doesn't have a fancy belt and whatever else. He's got a half burnt pink tutu and a pretty screwed up face, but he's also, call a spade a spade, when all is said and done, he gets to bring a hot broad back home to his ramshackle hut and gets to give her what for. So it can work out in the end.
Yeah, and that's after he takes the brunette in the spa area and puts her on the hot stones, calling her a hot ass.
Exactly. Well, but there's a point where there are people in the world that sometimes have it coming, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a hard thing to say because I don't like to like begrudge anybody, but some people just suck. And sometimes when you just suck, sometimes you get what you get.
Yep. Leading to your own demise at the things that you love most. In which case, for the most part, it was all gym equipment.
It worked for me, man.
Absolutely. Totally. And, I'm glad that so many of our fiends were like, you know, during the watch party, you know, we kept bringing up Death Spa. And, you know, there are quite a bit of similarities between the two movies. So
yes.
We'll definitely have to show Emily Death Spa at some point in time. But yeah, definitely the trauma standout by far and large. And, it's not the only janitor turned killer movie, I guess, because we got another one coming up. But we have The Burn-In, which came out in 1981 for our next recording. Which will probably be next week. I'm probably going to be unavailable to record on Sunday, but I will say tomorrow for Twisted Thursday, we have some new Japanese horror to check out with Love Will Tear Us Apart, which is a new slasher, which I am very curious about to see what a J slasher is going to entail.
J slashers are either outstanding, i.e. audition, or they're awful, i.e. pretty much all the rest. So I'm interested. I'm definitely interested to see what it's going to take. Yeah, I think we will most certainly do some pre-gaming, but we'll see what's what there. Because, I mean, honestly, I'm absolutely in love with Cholo Zombies, and I don't know why. But I am, so thank you for the recommendation. It's one of those movies where it's like, I'm going to fucking hate this. And I just know I'm going to fucking hate it, but Glenn recommended it, so I have to check it out. And I'm having such a good time, it's just ridiculous. So goes to show you that just because you read the you know, the synopsis of a movie, the synopsis is not the movie. Watch it first. And then if you agree, you agree. If you don't, you don't. That's cool. But just keep watching horror, because I it's what keeps me alive. And to you, Glenn, thank you for once again inviting me on to be your co-host. I'm having so much damn fun with this. It's just fucking ridiculous. We have too much fun. Probably more fun than two people should be allowed to have. At least two men alone in a room. Even though it's different. It's separate rooms. It is separate rooms. Yeah. So anyway, it's so fun, and it's great to have these conversations. And there's not a lot of people that like to dissect horror because they think it's weird. Mm-hmm. And I do, because I think it's weird, and that's what keeps me happy. So whatever, you know what? Rest of the world, either like me or go eat a bag of dicks. I don't care which one.
Yeah, there you go. And so, yeah, join us tomorrow night for Love Will Tear Us Apart, which will be our newest 2024 release. So we can both add another one to our laundry list, the movies that we've seen this year. Hopefully it will fall above the norm for the year, which would be average at best. But you never know. We'll see what that is going to entail. But I've been having an absolute blast with the watch parties. And, you know, Cholo Zombies, yeah. Well, I'm not going to say it was my favorite movie. It did enough things differently where, like, at least from, like, a viewing experience, it was well worth the watch. I feel like that movie in particular would be much funner in a overall, like, watch party.
Definitely. Sort of setup, definitely.
As opposed to just me watching it at home late at night. But definitely an interesting movie, and they kind of take that Fido approach, I guess would be the best way to put it.
God, yes. The zombies. God, yes. Yeah, it's the Fido approach with a hardcore, and I mean hardcore cultural element. And like I said, I thought I would hate it, and the actors in it, I don't know where they found these actors. I mean, the actors in this movie are, as I understand it, cholos, like that they are. I had to Google what a cholo was. I didn't know what it was. I had to Google it. Now that I know, I get it. But all the people in this movie, they do such a great job. And they're all, you can see that they're all having fun making the movie. And I think that really is what is making it really fun for me. I still have a ways to go in it. But it's so damn fun. And at the same time, there's a cultural element that is heavy enough but light enough where you feel like you might be learning something. You're learning something about how the people get together and how they have fun and the things that they do. And I think it's one of those movies that's gonna stick with me by accident because I'm having so much fun with it. And I'm okay with that. Having a movie stick with you, you watch it. It's rare to watch a movie assuming that you're going to hate it. And it starts and you're like, okay. And you're like, in your mind, you're like, fucking Glenn, you son of a bitch. And then you're like, huh. And then pretty soon you find yourself smiling and then you're kind of laughing and you're like, okay, this is not what I thought it was going to be. And it's totally fun. All while being so enamored and so in depth in a culture that it's borderline ridiculous, but that's what makes it fun. So I can't, nothing bad to say about it so far. Let me get to the end and we'll see. But so far, it's probably the best zombie movie of the year so far for me. If that's saying something, it's that fun. So dude, I'm cool with it.
Well, there you go. And with that being said, guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight for Handle with Scare. Again, be sure to join us for our Twisted Tuesday and Thursday watch parties, which are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time over at kick.com/humblydrunk. And with that, that will do it for us here tonight. We hope to see you guys tomorrow for Love Will Tear Us Apart, which is the new J-slasher that just hit on demand. Go support horror in theaters. We have Abigail coming out this week. And, you know, of course, there are other offerings out there as well. And, yeah, hope you guys have a good week and a good weekend. And we'll see you next time. Y'all have a good night.
Buenas noches.